We're still talking in the Word about knowing the mind of Satan and trying to uncover his tactics, some of his principles, and we talked about that over in Ephesians for a while. We're going to move out from there. I could go back and talk some more about that, but we're going to move on and start uncovering some of the tools or some of the things that he is, and we need to understand that. When we see some of the things that Satan is, we'll see the opposite of that in Christ Jesus our Lord. We'll see that we have power over him. We're going to go to John today, and then we're going to go to Genesis and look at the beginning, at the fall, and what went and happened there, and begin to uncovering some of the things that we see in this old serpent, that wicked one called Satan and the devil. And so that we might understand what we're up against. Understanding that in Christ, we fight the foe. In Christ, we have the victory over this subtle one, over this one who would deceive the world and does deceive the world. And yet, if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. And though we've been born again, we're not the ones that would be duped ultimately by his pattern of deceit. Although from time to time, he will slip in if we allow him to come in and deceive us. And so we need to understand this enemy that we have, this enemy that's been put under the foot of Jesus, this enemy that shall not ultimately reign and rule over us. We talked last week about this is his domain, the earth. He influences the news. He influences society. He influences the world. And so we have a worldly perspective about everything. Ask people their opinion and they'll give them to you. They'll give you opinions by the buckets. And most of the time it's a sinful technique, something that has not really been thought through to its logical conclusion. And we'll find that it's against God and the undermining of God's Word. Well, who is that? Whose influence is that from? That's from Satan, the one who's the prince of the power of the air. And so we want to uncover some of those things. The first thing we want to uncover, turn to John, the 8th chapter, and this is going to be familiar Scripture, but it brings forth a couple of truths, a couple of characteristics about Satan that we want to address this morning. Two of those that we want to talk about. One of them is Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning, and he also says he is a liar and the father of it. And we need to understand that. All lies come from who? The father of it. Satan. He wants to, he'll use a bold-faced lie, and he'll use what we as society has dubbed a white lie, which is a black lie, just called a white lie. Lie is a lie. Probably more subtly done lying like that than it is just an outward blatant lie. You know, if you kind of halfway tell half the truth and half a lie, it's a full lie. That's what it is. It's a lie, ultimately. And so he's the father of it. He wants to influence us in that way. And we have a great picture in the Word of God to see how that influence is made. And then we want to go to the beginning and see how all this got started. And we're going to uncover some things right there in the garden that are obvious to each of you that have read those Scriptures and understand it. But as we see it, we'll also see today's society, and it's going to sound just like it's modern day in some of the things that we have to say. That's because it does mimic today's modern society. Sin's sin. It's reared its ugly head down through the ages and will continue to raise its ugly head until God says, that's enough. When God says that's enough, it's going to all be over with. Praise God. Praise God. It'll all be over with. But until then, he's not left us defenseless, has he? He's given us the Word of God, given us these great Scriptures whereby we can look to the Word of God and see the power that we have in the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as he uncovers the schemes of Satan, that we might read them in a very plain light and understand what he's teaching us. So here we see a group of Jews that are called disciples that are not really disciples. They think they are because of their heritage. They think they are because of their bloodline, because they can trace their lineage or their genealogy all the way back to, quote, Father Abraham. But Jesus straightens them out on this account. He said, you know, it's not really by your bloodline, unless that bloodline is in Jesus. That's the one. That's the one that counts. And so we want to look at that, and I guess I'll begin reading in the 31st verse of John in the 8th chapter. And I really want to get over to the portions of Scripture in verses 44 and 45 and 47. That's really where I want to end up. And hopefully we will end up somewhere there today, and hopefully we'll get to Genesis, but we'll go wherever the Lord allows us to go this morning. And we'll try to have an understanding as we go along. A great portion of Scripture, understanding what true salvation is all about, what true discipleship is all about. If one would generally read over this and you see some believers there, most people would just say, well, there's a believer. If that's a believer, then that must be a real true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes the Word of God depicts people saying they're one thing, and Jesus says, no, they're not really that at all. And that's exactly what we see right here. And that's the fallacy of it. And I want you to see how this murderer called Satan and this liar called Satan is involved in all this, blinding those eyes. And we'll see this. And Jesus points out they think that they're the children of God. And Jesus is going to say, no, you do the works of your Father. And it's not God. And it can't be but two. It is two. It's either God your Father or Satan's your Father. And that's what he said. And so he said these, thinking they were God's children or claiming, professing in their mouth to be, so their very works denied that that was the truth. And that's what he's talking about. So verse 31, and I guess I just want to read through this and then we'll come back and try to make some comments. Verse 31 of chapter 8 in John. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, we're talking about lying now, and right off the bat, I want you to see what Jesus says that you might understand and know you are of the truth. You see, if you abide in my word, if you do what I tell you to do, if you're obedient to the will of God and continuing to do that, then are ye my disciples indeed. Indeed is an factual word, but I think of indeed and I kind of pull that indeed. In the doing, you understand that you are indeed his disciples. We're not talking about works to go to heaven, but there's works that follow faith. A real faith is actively working according to the Word of God. And this is simply what he's saying. And it's good that he says, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he says that to them. And then verse 33, they answered him, these who claim to be believers, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Well, you know, naturally they were in bondage to people all the time. So evidently they think they're free, spiritually speaking, because they know, and emphatically they've been in bondage to the Egyptians, the Assyrians, name it, you name them, and they've been in bondage to Israel. Israel been in bondage to them because of their disobedience and their unbelief in God. And so God allowed them to go into captivity many, many different times to purge them and show His strength and His glory in a very mighty way. And so, who said you will be made free? How can you say you will be made free? And this is what sin does. This is what lie does. It blinds us to the truth. They couldn't even see the truth. The truth was standing there physically in front of them. Jesus Christ, He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's all of that. He's all of that. He's ultimately what life is all about. Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have life, he says. Without him, you don't really have life. Not the kind of life that we desire to have. I want to live eternally with God in glory. The only way I'm going to have that is through the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ. He's the only way. There's no other way. No matter what men may say, no matter what others may say, you turn the TV on, you'll get discussions. And I know John MacArthur was on Larry King Live one day, and that's the reason they have him on there, because John stands his ground. But they were saying there's many ways to heaven. And John said, I beg to differ with you. And he said, what does it mean when only through Jesus you can be saved? He said, there's no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. What does it mean when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? And he defended the faith. And yet there were others that represented different religious orders of the world that said there's many, many ways. Well, who are we going to believe? I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm going to believe Jesus who said, I am the truth. So we either believe that or we don't believe that. You see, and that just speaks a lot of where we're at. If I understand Him to be the truth, I'm in pretty good shape there. You know, I understand that Christ is saying who He is. And Satan, you see how he influences the world, even the, quote, acceptable religious denominations of the world. And they would tell lies, that there's many ways. And the Bible says there's not many ways. As a matter of fact, he said the way that there is a very narrow way. Narrow-minded. See, we're narrow-minded. Christians are really narrow-minded. Why is that? Because God says it's a narrow way. It's through my Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that we'll be saved. And so all this is being laid out here before them. And I want you to see their blindness. They're believing a lie. They might be deceived and not be saved. And that's what they're doing here. So Jesus points that out to them. Jesus answers and most assuredly, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. If I believe a lie, then I'm a slave of sin. And I'm worshiping my father, Satan. That's who I'm saying my father is. If that's what I'm doing, is if my lifestyle is that, a lie and murderous or whatever it might be, whatever manifestation of that sin in my life is, that's who I'm serving. Ultimately, if I've got a consistent lifestyle in that. We that are born of the Spirit have been freed from that. So our lifestyle, although it may be bumpy at times, it's not consistently consumed with those particular kinds of sin. In other words, my lifestyle is going to be towards God. I'm going to be obedient to my Father because He is my Father and I am His Son and you are His daughter or son, whatever the case may be. So that's what he's saying. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. What does Satan want? He wants slaves. That's what he wants. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. Here's a wonderful scripture. But a son abides forever. Another translation. The slave is not a permanent resident in the house. The son is a permanent resident in the house. Thank God. Christ, as we've been born again, He says He indwells us. He abides with us. That is, He takes up His abode with us. He lives within me. We sing a song about that. Christ lives within me. And so that's the way it is. We have the righteousness of Christ. We are the holiness of God. We are all these things because of what Christ has made us. And we've been set free from bondage to sin. We're no longer in bondage. Now we may slip and find ourselves from time to time caught up in that, but we need to remember who we are and get out from under that again. Christ came to set me free from who I was before. And He either did that or He didn't do that. And the Bible says that He did do that. So what I need to do is by faith line up with what the Word of God says and walk in that and believe that. And no longer have to act that way anymore. No longer. And so there's the power of the sin that's been canceled or broken over us through the power of Jesus Christ. Now Satan would like for us to have a very little knowledge of that, you see. I believe there's a lot of Christians that walk around that don't understand the victory or the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I talked about that last week. Satan is just not sitting idly by. When we're saved and we come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're drawn to Him and we come to Him confessing His name, embracing Him as our Lord and Savior. He doesn't just snap His fingers and say, boy, I missed another one. No, He goes exactly as fast as He can to plan B. I tell you what, I can't have their soul, but I hate the blood that's on them and I'm going to make their lives miserable if there's any way I can do it. That's what this is all about. That's why we need to understand why it is that Christ says He was a murderer from the beginning. That means that He's not going to change, you see. He's a murderer from the beginning and He's going to be a murderer throughout the ages. And He's a liar and the father of it. These are things that we've been delivered from and we're not to engage in anymore. That's what Jesus is telling us. And so, and He leaves us a great example here of what happens when they believe Him and when they serve Him. They think they're His, but they're not. And that's what He said. Therefore, He says in verse 35, the end of that, or verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Believe that. If Christ said, I've come to make you free, believe me. God says, you know, some things God cannot do. He cannot deny Himself, and He cannot lie. That's one of the things He can't do. He can't lie. He's a sovereign God, but He said, I can't lie. He told us that, and He bound Himself by His Word and by His promises, you see. If we can get that comprehension, I can't even comprehend that, but God says in His Word and reveals that to us, that He cannot lie, and Jesus says that Satan's a liar and the father of it. So it's just a big distinction, isn't it? This is not rocket scientist stuff here. It's pretty simple. You look at it. Satan's a liar. God is not. He's truth. He's true. For everything that God is, Satan is going to have a counterpart. That's exactly, extremely in the opposite direction. And that should be able to give us a warning, shouldn't it? When we're starting to get off the track there. When we allow his traps to be sprung in our lives. We need to quickly recover. And God has blessed us to be able to do that through His Word. But here He said, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. Now Christ is just speaking. He's going to take their reasoning and just break it right down so anybody can understand. A little babe can understand this. He's going to break it down. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. It was so that they were kin to Abraham. I tell you, there's not a Jew that didn't profess to be religious that he wouldn't pull this little paper out and say, if you don't believe me, I'll show you right here. And he traced his lineage all the way back to somebody that was close to Abraham, or if not to Abraham. He just run his lineage all the way back. That's what they put their pride in. That's what they put their hopes in. That they were kin to Father Abraham. That was their hope. And there they had the truth right there in front of them. The truth was explaining that that's not your hope. You better hope you've got more than that. And if you're talking about Abraham, you better be talking about not just natural Abraham, but spiritual Abraham. That's what you need to be clinging to. And he said, I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but this is the difference. He said, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now remember, it says in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him. Now listen to this. This is exactly opposite of what Jesus said. He said, I'm the truth, and the truth will make you free. And what does He say here? I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Now who's He going to uncover? He's going to tell you in just a little bit that Satan is a murderer from the beginning. Now, who does that sound like they're serving? Whose works are they doing? You seek to murder me. You seek to kill me. Well, he's already uncovering who they're kin to, who they're serving. And they're saying just the opposite. Oh, I'm serving God. And there's people today that say that. Oh, I'm serving God, but they do the works of Satan. Because they're not of God. See, they're deceived. They believe a lie. And they espouse a lie. Just as these Jews did, no difference today in some of the religious atmospheres that we see. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. The word of God has no place in the unregenerate man's heart, the natural man's heart. He said he receives it not. He said, matter of fact, you don't just receive it. He said it's foolish. Foolish to think about that. It's foolish to think that a man could be killed and resurrected from the grave. It's foolish to think about that thing called the new birth. Who in the world ever heard of such a preposterous thing as the new birth? What are you talking about? That's a natural man's reading. If I can't see it, then it must not be so, you see. I've got to see it, feel it, or emotionally embrace it somehow or another for it to be a reality to me. But that's the natural man, you see. And that's why God says in His Word, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. You see, he has to have the Holy Spirit to open that heart, that dead heart that's hard. It needs to be circumcised, as it were, in the Word of God, that we might understand and begin to embrace the spiritual things of God. The regenerating power of God needs to take effect that we might come to know Christ. He said, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. Two different fathers here. You know, you look in your Bible, one of them's a capital F, one of them's a little F. You know, One of them's the devil, one of them's God. And we know the one that's God is what Jesus is talking about. That's my Father, he said. I do what my Father says. Do you do what your Father says? He said, yes, you do what your Father says. You do what your Father says. They answered him and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, they hadn't got it yet, but they're going to get it in just a minute. Abraham's our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What are the works of Abraham? It's by faith, isn't it? God told him one time when his name was Abram, said, Abram, get up. He said, I got somewhere for you to go. Abram didn't just sit around and talk it over with his wife and say, you know, we need to figure this out. We got a little proposition. No, he didn't do that at all. He said, let's load it up. We're going somewhere. Where are we going? I don't know. God said it's over here somewhere. And he left by faith. You see, he believed God and he was obedient to do the will of God. He didn't know where that was taking him. He didn't have a clue where that was. He had it made where he was. Just a great place to live. But he loved his God, you see. He loved God, and he followed him and was obedient to his will. That shows that Abraham was a man of faith, real faith, believes and trusts in God. Because we cannot see where we're going, we believe that God knows where we're going and in his purpose and in his will. That's what faith is all about, doing that which we cannot see. Calling those things that be not, Romans says, as though they were, because God says they are. We believe it. We can't see it, but we believe it. If we could see it, we wouldn't need faith. We would just say, oh, I see that. That's what faith is, isn't it? Forgetting all, I trust Him. As one somebody said one time, was faith that, definition of faith. And that's the way it is. We just believe God and we do His will. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. There's that murderer again. You seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Listen how plain he is speaking to these people. A man that has told you the truth, he is the truth. I said that a while ago, and he's the way, the truth, and the life. A man that has told you the truth, which I heard from God, and he might add, my father. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. He said, Abraham didn't seek to kill me. He sought to praise God. He sought to do the works of God. He sought, when he told him to kill his son, his only son, he raised it and he was going to kill him, and the angel stopped him. That's faith, brethren. That was a promised seed. You know what he thought? He said, I tell you what, I can just see the process. He said, if I kill him, God's going to raise him up right here in front of him because this is a promised seed. See, God's already promised me this. So either way, you know, I've seen that depicted where, oh, he just moaned and groaned and he just wring his hands like he was just so anxious. He wasn't anxious about that thing. He believed God. He believed God. And God was able to do all things. All things are possible through him. And so he believed that. But these didn't. He said, you do the deeds of your father. And he's going to uncover that in a minute. He let them think about this. You know, he's just going right down and reasoning and answering every little statement they make. Well, it's not enough that they're through there. So they say there in 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, our God. They took a shot at Jesus then, didn't they? Said, yeah, we know you. Said, you're that one that was there. There's a little something funny about Joseph and Mary and all that. And we've heard rumors and you know, you're the carpenter's son and you know, you're going around claiming that you're the son of God, that you're God your father. So we're not born of fornication. That's what they were saying. And so he just goes on, lets that go. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. You wouldn't say, I was born of fornication. You wouldn't say that. If God was your father, you would love and embrace me because I am the truth and I speak the truth and I bring the message straight from God. And if you were of God, you would recognize that and you would worship God and embrace me. That's what he's saying. But they wouldn't do it. He said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. Why is that? Because they believe a lie. They believe the lie, and they're full of what they believe, and there's no room to receive and believe the truth. He said, you won't have it. You won't have it. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Brethren, there is no truth in Satan. He's a liar. He's a father of it. And he wants to deceive you. And he'll paint it up pretty enough to make it look like the truth. But I'm telling you right now, based on the authority of the Word of God and the words of Jesus Christ our Lord, he says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. A fact. There's no truth in Satan. Don't believe his lies. He's a murderer. And that's what he wants to do. If he can't murder us physically, he wants to murder the reputation that we have as a child of God. He wants to murder any which way he can. You know, we don't just need to remember it as a physical thing. He wants to murder us through us gossiping. He wants to murder other folks through lying, through whatever means of sin that he can. He wants to be murderous in that. He wants to knock a leader down, say something false about a leader. You know, that's the thing about it. If a leader's accused and it's accused falsely, people don't get the second story on that. So, oh, somebody made a mistake. They want to believe the bad stuff. Right. And his ministry is almost over with if folks don't believe him and embrace him and understand that he wasn't a liar. So that's the way he murders us. He wants to murder your witness, your testimony. And that's why he tempts us to go down the wrong paths, to embrace his, quote, truths, which are untruths, they're lies. Remember, he's full of lies. He's a murderer. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. This is what he came up with. And he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? And he just makes it plain in verse 47. He who is of God hears God's word. Brethren, do you hear God's word? Do you hear his word and we respond to it? Are we obedient? That's because we're of God. That's because God has born us of his spirit. We've been born again. We're true believers. We embrace Him. And we have the hope of having eternal life, ultimately transformed, glorified in the image of God, in the image of Christ our Lord. We have that hope because we are of God. And we continue to do the things that He commands us to do. We love Him. That's why. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. It goes right back to Him, you see. And had He not equipped us to do that, no, we would never love Him. Left to our own resources, left to believing the resources of Satan, where would we be? We'd be justly condemned and on our way to a justly deserved hell forever and ever and ever. Forever. Justly condemned. Not unjustly condemned. Justly condemned. Because we believe a lie. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And he just makes it plain. Called yourself believers, but you're actually unbelievers. Because you do the works of your father, Satan. You desire to kill me. Because that's not mentioned at all here, but you know what? He's the one that knows the hearts, doesn't he? He knew the intent of their heart. Each time along the way, they would set snares and traps in their religious outward appearances and thinking they were so religious. You remember when they brought the woman in adultery, said, you know what the law says? You got to stone her. What about it? And they saw they had him on it. He said, well, he just wrote down a little thing. And wouldn't you love to know what he wrote? We're going to know that one day. I think we will. He wrote a couple of times. He stooped down and wrote in the sand. And then he finally come up and said, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. And they began, the rocks just began dropping, and they went out in that order, you know, from the least, from the greatest to the least, or whichever their order was, and they went away. He turned to the woman and said, "Woman, where's your accusers?" She said, "Lord, I don't see any." He said, "I don't condemn you either. Go and do what you've been doing." No, we've been delivered from that. She said, "Go and sin no more. Sister, you're mine now. You do the work of the Lord. You've been serving Satan long enough. There's no accusers, and I don't condemn you either. I freed you from that, and now you don't go back to that lifestyle. Yes, you were drug out, and yes, you were guilty of that, but I condemn you no more because my blood's forgiven you and covered you. Now you go and you sin no more." And that's what He tells us today. Isn't that what He told you? If we don't understand it in that sense, we need to understand when He came and He redeemed us, that precious day of redemption that we experienced and came to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whether we heard the words or not, that's exactly what happened. He told you, you've been redeemed from sin, go and sin no more. You are truth givers and truth seekers. Don't you believe the lies of Satan anymore. You know, he's the father of the lies. Every lie can be traced back to being birthed from who? Satan. But every truth that's scriptural truth can go back to Father because He birthed that. And He gave us the physical example of that in Jesus Christ our Lord. And He walked among men and they were able to handle the truth and hear the truth. Every day, every time He opened His mouth, truth would come out. Why? Because that's all He could tell was the truth. The truth. And that's what we've been made. That's what we've been delivered from the lies and the traps of Satan, to speak truth. I was thinking of some scriptures, and I'll probably get to them later, over in Ephesians, where it says that we're a part of the body and every part's fitted together. It's just a wonderful description of how the church works. And right in the middle of that, and based on all of what's being said there, of how it's all fitly formed together, it says, speaking the truth in love. Oh, what a wonderful thing that God is so gracious when He gives us His Word. You know, it's one thing to speak the truth, and I've done it a lot of times, but just like a baseball bat over somebody's head, I'm going to put this truth in you. Didn't have a bit of compassion when I spoke it. Overzealousness. Really, intentions were there, but I forgot one of the greatest principles in the Word of God. We speak the truth in love. In love. What is it that drew us to Christ? The love of God drew us to Christ. What is it that motivates every thought and every deed that's acceptable to God? It's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What motivates Satan? It's lies. Lies and murderous thoughts. And he wants all these things to be in our lives that he might rob the glory of God and that we might stumble and fall and that he might make a mockery. And as he does every day, he accuses the brethren before the throne. But you know what Jesus does? He said, "You can accuse all you want. That's mine. I paid for that one. I paid for that one. I paid for that one." Not going to stick. Not going to stick. We have forgiveness in Christ, Jesus our Lord. And he not only does that, but he has this wonderful thing that when we do get caught up in sin and we stumble, that there's a repentance and there's a turning from to a turning to, and there's a remorse in our hearts. Nobody has to tell us. The Holy Spirit has convicted us. And I know just as well when I've done something wrong. No one has to tell me, although God uses that many times too. But you immediately know you've transgressed God's holy law. And you're sorrowful for that. If I wasn't born of the Spirit of God, that wouldn't matter to me one whit about transgressing the law of God. When I was without Christ in the world, thought never crossed my mind when I would tell a lie or a filthy joke or whatever it was I did. Never thought my mind. I was God just wasn't in my thoughts. But now when we transgress, now when we stumble and fall, there's conviction. Why? Because a loving God says, that's not the behavior of my child. And I'm not going to tolerate that kind of behavior in my child. I love you too much. And so I'm going to chasten you. And so it'll make work in you the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And as we exercise them, you might understand what this great gift of salvation is all mine. And so we don't want to sin more. We want to sin less, don't we? Amen. Because when we think about the cross of Calvary and the truth of Jesus Christ our Lord, what a great, great thing that is in our lives. But you see, they had it all wrong. They had everything all balled up. And I just want to read this comment on verse 44 when he says, "Your father the devil." And he gives a great example here. Sonship is predicated on conduct. You ever thought about that? Sonship is predicated upon conduct. How do we act as the children of God? Do we act naturally? If we're acting naturally from a spiritual point, that's kind of difficult. So then there's going to be the parts of the fruit of the Spirit that flow from that, because we've had a changed life. That's the way we would act now, spiritually, spiritual beings. That's the way we are. That flows from us. Why? Because that sonship being made manifest that I've had a changed life. The Spirit of God has worked in my heart. Now my life is changed. And that's what he's saying. Sonship is predicated on conduct. A son will manifest his father's characteristics. Why is that? Because a son is to be obedient to the father, isn't it? A son has his father's nature now in him. We that are born of the Spirit of God have God's nature coursing through us. And as we're sons and daughters of Almighty God, that conduct is going to be made manifest. You see? It's not going to be perfect because we live in an imperfect fallen world. But nonetheless, it will be manifest. Somebody said it this way, you know, the very best that we do, even when our thoughts are as pure as they can be, our motives are as pure as they can be, and we do the work of God, it's still sprinkled with sin because of these old tabernacles that we're in. I thought that was a great way of explaining that in this imperfect world. But it won't always be that way, will it? Brother Amar alluded to it a while ago when he said he's getting his voice doesn't seem to be as strong, but in heaven, brother, you ain't gonna worry about it. You ain't gonna run. You ain't gonna miss a note. It's gonna be perfect. And we can't conceive of that. Perfect all the time. But that's what we have to look forward to. That's the hope that we have. And in the meantime, he's conforming us to that, isn't he? And he's allowing things in our lives. Even when we stumble, God uses that. He doesn't waste none of it. He'll take that and bring us back to where we need to be. We'll learn a lesson there, and we'll go on, hopefully maturing and growing and hating like David said. He said he hated sin with a perfect hatred. Brother, that's where we need to get. When sin enters in our life, we need to hate it with a perfect hatred, remembering that those are the things that went to the cross of Calvary that Jesus bore. My sins and your sins are personal sins. Just one thing to understand, the sins of all that He chose in Christ. But then it's a greater thing still as we think individually what Christ did for me and what He did for you individually. And we meditate upon that. That's what we need to understand. So a sonship is predicated on conduct. A son will manifest his father's characteristics. Ephesians 5 says this, 5:1. Therefore, as imitators or followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor or aroma. Brethren, that's who you are. You smell sweet in the nostrils of God, if we can say it that way. When you're doing the will of the Father, when you're being obedient to God, God is seeing that as His Son's sacrifice. And because the Son is in us and He's covered us with His blood, we that are obedient in faith, that's part of the persevering grace of God. God is pleased, and it's well pleasing to Him and a favorable smell to Him. It's an acceptable sacrifice. You know, it goes back to those Old Testament sacrifices. And they had incense and different things, different smells as they offered those sacrifices up. And I suppose some of that was just to cover the stench of the blood of the animals that they had to slaughter. But nonetheless, there was a sweet smell sometimes to it. And so as we see that in the natural thing, now we see a spiritual entrance that if we that are followers of God, we that are showing forth the characteristics of God our Father, are doing two things. Pleasing God, that's first an offering and it's also a sacrifice. We know, we that are spiritual, we that have been born of the Spirit of God, know that there's great sacrifice that's called for in our lives. We sacrifice today to come to the house of God. You sacrifice to go to a person's house when they're sick. Maybe someone needs to talk to you. And you were going to do a different thing, and your brother or sister called you. You know what you do? You don't immediately say, well, I don't know what. You just go. You say, I won't go. Why? Because that's a sacrificial offering to God. You want to be there for your brother and sister in Christ. No matter what it is in the spiritual realm, we give up, but we never lose in giving up. That's God's economy. We gain the greatest riches this world has no clue about. The riches that we have from God, the closeness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What greater reward than understanding that through sacrifice and through offering to God that you've pleased Him, pleased Almighty God. Now, we couldn't do that apart from the grace of God, apart from all that He's given us. And nonetheless, God says that pleases Him. We're obedient. We're showing forth the conduct of a born-again child of God when we do that. Just on the other hand, these Jews were showing forth their conduct of their father. Their minds were racing. Boy, we want to get him. How are we going to get him? We're trying to trip him up. When are we going to be able to murder this one that's tearing up our religion? We want him dead. We want to catch him in a lie, and so they came up with lies to try to trap him. But you can't trap the truth. The truth will set you free. Always. It cost many their lives. Many were told, well, if you'll just recant some of these things, or if you'll just deny that Jesus Christ is Lord, we'll spare your life, we'll spare your family, we're going to cut their heads off over here if you don't deny. And they would not recant. Stories are told to their children, screamed to their parents, don't you do it. Don't you recant. They gave their lives. But what did they get in return? Sweet release into the presence of God, because that's His promise. No, brethren, when we stand for the truth, God has blessed it in a very special way, more than man will ever understand. And so Satan understands that more probably than we do, and he is going to do all that he can to plant the lies, to get murderous feelings, to blind the eyes of men. He's continued to do it. We talked about how that He blind the eyes of those lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine the knowledge of the face of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so He's busy. And that's part of His agenda. But understand that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is the God that we serve than Satan, the one that we've been delivered from and from the bondage of that. Didn't have a chance to get over in Genesis, but we will. I wanted to talk about this, and you know, I used this last week, our identity in Christ. On the other side of that, it's got Satan's lie and God's truth. I want to just say four things and listen to this. Satan's lie, you are a sinner because you sin. God's truth, you are a saint, one declared righteous by God who sins. Your identity, Satan would say, Satan's lie, your identity comes from what you have done. God's truth, your identity comes from what God has done for you. Boy, that's a big difference. I'm going to tell you, and that's the one he tried to keep looping you around on there, brother. Oh, you know what you used to do, so do you know that? You're delivered from that. Change your thinking. You know, one said you got to clean up your stinking thinking and get a checkup from your neck up. You do. You need to understand the reality and the identity of what God has made you. God, Satan's lie, your identity comes from what people say about you. Boy, how many of you have been in bondage to that? What people say about you. God's truth, your identity comes from what God says about you. Who are you going to believe? I'm going to believe God. Amen. When God says, my children, when they're born again, they're holy, they're sanctified, they're righteous. God says that. You're a saint. That's your identity. That's who you are. We need to understand that. We need to understand it. And then Satan's lie, your behavior, tells you what to believe about yourself. God's truth, your belief about yourself, determines your behavior. Do you believe what God says that you are when you're born again? Then that's what's going to come out. That's what's going to come out. That's why it's so important that we understand the Word of God, that we spend time in it, that we come before God and say, Lord, just Just make me the person you desire me to be. Show me the truth. And help me to be more discerning about the spirit of lie and the murderous thief that's trying to steal and rob my joy and rob your glory. Uncover him. Uncover him. God bless us to uncover those things and embrace Jesus Christ as the only way, the truth, and the life, is my prayer for Christ's sake. Brother Lamar.